Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to episode 49 of Geek Girls, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and offer it to the masses. The Geek Girls podcast is supported solely by our patrons at patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen, and I'm here with my co-host September, also known as 9 of 12.
Salutations!
Hello! And today we have an awesome guest. We have with us Jet, who I know from playing one of the most awesomely twisted Malkavian characters of all time from LARP. But we are very glad to have you so you can talk about your writing, and I'm really excited about it. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I am doing okay. It's Sunday. We're recording at a weird... Maybe it's also we're recording at a weird time. Pull back the curtain a little bit. This is different recording time.
Yeah, like at night instead of morning and holiday weekend, and everything's weird.
Everything is just weird today. It's a weird day. But that aside, what have you been up to, Ember? What's been going on in your world?
So I had this cool thing that's happened. My husband and I occasionally do, it's a cheap date idea. We hadn't done it in a long time. I was like, let's go. So we go out to the Barnes & Noble out in Hickory, and we get coffee and hang out with our friends, the books. Just, we love books. And we were trying not to buy anything, because we're a little cash tight, but then I had to buy a thing. Because right in the discounted stuff, there were these baby books, like board books, and it was... HTML for infants, CSS for infants, and Java for infants. And they were all in bright colors and board books and all the actual... They were written in the proper script. Like, all the code was correct. So I totally had to get them. We had to get them for our friends. Dina and David Pendragon have a little baby. And we're all a bunch of nerds. Like, Dee's my burlesque diva friend, and David he makes board, like, card games, tabletop games, and we all play WoW, and she posted pictures online. It was really lovely. She's like, and the nerdification of my boy begins. So yeah, that was fun. I took them to her and hung out with the baby. We just played a fun round of D&D, shorter than usual, but holy crap, we were all so silly.
We were too. We really had our silly pants on. Like, it was hard. I was surprised we got as much done as we did.
I know. You poor Rob. My husband's a DM, and he's like trying to do things, and we're like just being total goofballs. But that was fun. That was like, I feel like the camaraderie was strong.
Yes, I feel like we are gelling, and also it also helps when I'm not a shit wizard and can actually...
Yeah, and our roles were on. See?
Actually, you just have to cast a spell successfully.
We have to be not so intense focused on the game, and then we can roll, apparently. Still trying to reschedule Left 4 Dead time with part-time gamers. Just stuff keeps coming up. And this week, I made the crispy bat wings recipe from the WoW cookbook. And it was successful, and they were so cool. Like, they were really dark.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
My Rob, the rest of the family liked them better than I did. I am actually going to play around with the recipe and make them better, because I like to do that. So, yep. Those are, like, nerdy things I did this week.
They all sound delightfully nerdy.
Such a geek.
I know.
Totally,
right?
Okay with that.
Jet,
we
watched.
Sorry. I want to mention too, because we just did this last night, to find a movie we could all watch while my mother was here. We actually found we all wanted to see Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Really cool. A whole lot darker than I thought it was going to be, but then I ended up feeling sad for my mom, because, like, Rob and I's interactions about the movie were stuff like, he's like, wow, necromancy? I'm like, well, no. I mean, it's more like just reanimation. He's making golems. It's like, yeah, okay. It's like, God, he keeps rolling threes. And I know she just had no idea what language we were speaking. Like, so, yeah.
Speaking geek. I mean, Greek. I mean, wait.
Yeah.
Yep. What about you, Jet? What have you been up to this
week? So, my wife and I love Bethesda games. But we also love co-op play. And I just got a new laptop that can actually handle Fallout 4. So I booted up Fallout 4, and we discovered that she loves building settlements and crafting gear. And I like going and literally picking up everything that isn't nailed down out in the Commonwealth. So we spent all week doing mostly that, where we're actually somehow figured out how to co-op Fallout 4 together out of sheer perseverance. And then we're also running a vampire LARP, and we're working on helping a whole bunch of people who are new to the system create their characters and character sheets this week. So lots of fun
stuff. That is an exciting and daunting week. Are you guys playing in the new Vampire LARP system? Or are you guys playing the third?
Oh, I'm so grumpy. I refuse to learn the new system. Damn,
fair enough.
Get off my lawn with their damn system with that makes sense.
That sounds about right. No, that's perfect. It's been adventure trying to learn it, and then I tried to go into a game, and then I was like, nope, over this. I can't deal with it right now. Maybe later.
I did that too. I went to one game, and I was like, mm-mm, no. I was so mad just making my sheet.
Yeah, it's just so many years, I think, too, of knowing one system, trying to change another is hard.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad system. I'm just a grumpy old man, and it needs to get off my lawn.
That's totally reasonable. Oh my gosh. Now let's see, what have I been up to? I've been playing a lot of Heroes. Heroes, Heroes, and more Heroes of the Storm. I'm still obsessed with it. I like to get my shiny loot boxes. That makes me happy right now. I swear to God I'm going to get out of Bronze eventually. Update, I am now Bronze 2. I have been Bronze 2. I can't seem to get the hell out of Bronze 2.
Thanks for the carries last night, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, woo! Good news is that I now, I don't know if I mentioned this, I think it happened after our last recording, but I now have affiliate status on Twitch. So I'm not a partner, but as an affiliate, I know, right? Like, yay! So as an affiliate, I can accept bit donations, and it just adds a little bit more legitimacy to it. So I've been trying to stream more often. And the Twitch Unity project was, Dance Off Day was on Friday. So a lot of stuff on Twitch last week. So I decided to stream a lot, and I did. I did a lot of streaming. Dills and I did a Crossing the Streams on Tuesday night for Heroes, and yeah, so trying to get out of Bronze 2 is going to be a nightmare. I win two games and then I lose a game. So I don't lose enough that I end up falling out of Bronze 2, but I don't win enough to actually get to the promotion match. Like, I've been living, I'm in, like, I feel like it's purgatory right now. It's horrible. But hopefully I will persevere. Hopefully I will push through. I've been playing some quick match, learning some new heroes, and I'm hopeful. I will remain hopeful. So, with that being said, yay, Twitch goodness, and also, I just want to be out of Bronze. So I suppose with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So NASA the NASA's Juno mission is really awesome. So we've been having, the Cassini mission got all kinds of information about Saturn. And what's really awesome is, in a similar way, we're getting all kinds of really awesome information about Jupiter from the Juno mission. So there has been really, really awesome pictures, really awesome just information. Like, one of the things that they found So the Juno mission was launched in 2011, and it made it to Jupiter's orbit in July of 2016. So now it's been there almost a year, just getting a lot of really awesome information. And so far, we know details about how Juno's orbit works. We're finding out more about what it looks like at its north pole and all these other crazy things. And apparently there are Earth-sized swirling storms that are clustered and rubbing together. So that creates this really awesome, weird weather pattern situation, because these storms are all so huge and happening. And then there's a magnetic field. Jupiter's magnetic field is actually much stronger than they had even anticipated. It turns out it's like 10 times stronger than any magnetic field on Earth. So that's really crazy. But then, yeah, like, so I guess in July they'll be doing the flyby will happen over the Great Red Spot, which is cool. So hopefully we'll get more information about that, because that's been one of those things, like, in astronomy and planetary scientists and all that stuff have been talking, you know, I don't know. It's like one of the most iconic things that I can remember when I first learned about the solar system is Jupiter's Big Red Storm, and then, like, it's the size of like 36 Earths and all that. And so it'll be interesting if we can learn some cool new things about what the hell it actually is and details. So that'll be cool. Yay, science and space stuff.
Yay. So we'll put a link to this in the show description, but hopefully it will still exist and not be torn down before then. Hopefully you'll be able to still find it at that link. If not, I'm sure somebody, you can find it somewhere if you dig around. But somebody has made an almost complete remake of Terminator 2 using Grand Theft Auto 5.
I want to have as much time as these humans have. Can I have their time?
Like, I respect it, though. When I see stuff like that, I'm like,
it's cool.
Wow, man. I just... Man, it'd take forever. But I'm curious. I mean, I don't even play that game, but, like, that looks really interesting.
I'd probably watch it. Maybe. Oh, my gosh.
And T2 was my favorite one, I think.
Oh, okay. So that's good to know. I enjoyed the Terminator movies, but I was never I vaguely remember going on a date with somebody who was so obsessed with the Terminator movies that when he took me on a date, we drove by this building in San Jose, because I was living in San Jose at the time, and he took me by this building, like, somewhere in Sunnyvale or San Jose or somewhere, and he was just like, this is the building that they used for the filming of that scene, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I knew he was a Terminator fan. I didn't realize he was, like, that much of a Terminator fan that his idea of a good first date is to swing by an office building that they used as a backdrop in one of the movies. Oh, I should put that up on my list of weird dates. But anyway, thank you to a friend of yours for this week's road spill story.
Well, actually, Rob found it. My husband did find it.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Rob was the discoverer of this. So there are so many jokes here that I'm going to not make about a chicken being incapable of crossing a road. but there was gallons upon gallons of chicken bits spilled on the roadway in front of some homes. Oh, God. A lot of chickens.
Oh, and then the crazy serendipitous thing of the week is my husband posted this to try and get it to you. And a friend of mine, whose house is in the picture the news posted, it was in front of a friend of mine's house. And, like, I live in North Carolina and she lives in Portland, Maine. We know each other through the band Rob used to be in.
Oh, my God.
From Canada. Like,
oh, Jesus.
Wow. Small world.
The world is small and strange, and apparently this is definitely one of the more unique road spill stories. By the way, Jed, to fill you in, this has become a regular thing. It started as I would occasionally find road spill stories, to the point that we now have people, like, listeners sending them in, Nine's husband sending them It has become a genre of news story that I apparently collect now, is road spill
stories. I feel like it's a compelling, you know, news genre there.
Yeah, we've been having fun with it. I still think the one that is the most intense is the one that had bees.
Yeah, holy cow. Because it was like bee... beekeeping stuff, like hives or boxes or whatever. So there was bees and honey, and then it started on fire. And holy crap.
It's hard to get more intense than bees on fire in a road spill.
That's the pinnacle.
but we'll continue.
If any of you out there find something to top it, please email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. But do not go out and create it to do so.
Yeah, please don't spill things on the roadway just for the sake of this. So yeah.
I'm not perverted. I get good grades. I go to church. I'm a cheerleader.
So we have Jet on, and I'm excited to talk to you because, like I said, I know you from LARPing together with you, and being a very... I think that when you LARP, there's a certain aspect of the fact that we're all kind of in a communal storytelling environment, and that's a really great opportunity to actually see each other's creativity and whatnot, because we actually are kind of writing that story as it's happening live action. And so I know a lot about your personality and I think like your creative mind, but so I am excited to have you on, and I just want you to talk a little bit about the project you're working on right now, because I know you launched your Patreon, and just what you're working on right now as far as your writing.
Chen, wait, just a second. Sorry to interrupt. Can you redefine LARP for our listeners that are not as nerdy?
Oh, yeah, a live action role-playing game. Our system was Vampire. I think I played Werewolf with you, too.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I, in fact, know for a fact I did.
The sweetest Tauron.
Oh, jeez. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so talk about your writing and this project that you have launched and what you've been working on.
So I have two things I'm doing. That's not true. I have a million things I'm doing because I'm a writer. But I have two that I'm publicly working on. I'm working on a novel at the moment where I like to call it post-apocalyptic meets high fantasy. Easiest way to explain it is... orc road bandits. But I'm also working on this major kind of, it's a more like a, like an exercise for me and hopefully other people too, of, where I'm creating my Patreon to encourage me to constantly be looking at bringing queer representation and just intersectionality in general, where, you know, people of color, people with disabilities into my writing. So my project is that once a month, I publish at least one story and a portion or sneak peek or world building of my novel. So people can see this, kind of world in which other types of people and other types of relationships can be centered a little bit better than what currently exists on the market.
And that's one of the things I really love about your project. And as soon as I saw that you had launched this Patreon, I was like, oh my God, yes. Because I know you to be a champion of really just, it's like, I need like a good word for just that isn't, like, a champion is really the best way I can think of. Is like, there are people that are just passively, you know, creating a space for acceptance. And then there are people that are actively forging that safe space and creating those safe spaces. And sometimes it's hard. I really feel like always it's hard. I shouldn't say sometimes. But I'm glad that you're doing that with your work and you're finding a way to do that with with your art, essentially, as a writer. So I think that's really awesome, and I am really glad that we're getting a chance to talk about that. And I know that queer representation, I know that you feel it is important, and I would love to have you just maybe share a little bit more about why you feel that way, and, you know, why does it matter to have stories with queer characters or characters with disabilities, not just queer, but just in general? Like, why do you feel that's
important? Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like it's important for two main reasons that speak to two very different audiences. The first is that for queer people or disabled people or people of color, that when we don't exist in media, we have a hard time relating to ourselves. And I'll use my wife and myself as an example of that, where before there was a lot of attention towards different gender identities, we lived very closeted. Through a lot of geeky media, we actually were able to start having these conversations with ourselves and with each other of admitting, you know, maybe I don't identify this way, this very binary way I was assigned. Jen met my wife before she came out. My wife is trans. And she directly points to some things going on in our lives that were separate from media, but to a large portion of it was these comics and video games and movies and TV shows gave her the space to feel like she was seen and she could exist within the real world just because she had something to bounce off of. And then the other reason representation's really important is for people who don't know queer people. It's really easy to believe a whole lot of harmful stereotypes or enact really harmful legislation or be just in general really negative towards people when you don't really see them as people because they don't exist in your world. And if you don't have a queer person who lives in your town that you know, or you don't have a disabled person that you know, and they aren't a real person to you, it's really easy to harm other people. So having these stories out there helps marginalized groups be who they are and see themselves reflected in the world. But it also does a lot to just in general humanize everyone instead of just these certain types of people that keep getting stories.
I love that you use the word humanize there because I think that is really the key. I think that when people aren't exposed, they don't understand. I know for a fact that a big part of me coming to terms with my own sexuality, that took a lot longer. And I do feel a lot of that was because I grew up in a very rural place. And I didn't have access. I didn't know. And I remember that when in high school, there happened to be one woman who was very out, very much like all about that. And it scared me. And it scared me because it made me start to ask questions and kind of those things that I had been ignoring my whole life because I didn't know that they were okay because I hadn't had that exposure. And so I love the fact that you use the word humanize because I do think that's it, where there is a lot of misunderstanding. And of course, Ember, I think, can completely understand about legislation that may be harmful, considering the bullshit that you had to deal with in your state with the hate bill.
Yeah, hate bill 2 has been quite the thing for a long time, and I've got to have some really fantastic experience with activists in the LGBT community. I mean, I helped start the LGBT Democratic Caucus in North Carolina, of which I am now the secretary, and one of my best friends, Janice, she was the first transgender delegate to the Democratic National Convention from North Carolina ever, and that's how we met. So yeah, it's really important, and it's a hard battle. And Janice has taught me a lot, like, her attitude about the hugs, like, is how she talks about it. Embracing people who are there protesting, you know, against your rights. But she's like, it's important to her to sit down and talk with them and get a relationship where they realize she's a person. And, you know, even if they can't agree on details, that that's the kind of progress that is world-changing. So,
is Bagheera also a person?
No, that's Lil. That's the deaf cat who doesn't know how loud she is.
That's adorable, though. I love her. But just to clarify, too, if people don't remember, I know we've talked about it before, but just in case you don't know, the bill I'm referring to is the bathroom bill, that in, for all intents and purposes, the idea behind it was that you would be required to use the bathroom associated with your gender at birth, which is your biological sex at birth, I think is how they put it. But either way,
there's the thing is, yeah, well, yeah, see, but there's another thing too, calling it the bathroom bill and making about that one issue made it even harder to fight. And it was too sensationalized in that manner, because it actually undid equality legislation that other cities had passed. It had the state taking all that over, and it was about housing and fair pay and things like that, like giving the entire LGBT community protections that they don't have under equal opportunity federal law. And cities were starting to just take their own non-discrimination ordinances and put them in place. And the state legislature was taken over by the GOP, and they passed this horrifying, sweeping, I mean, disallowing cities to even make that those kinds of legislation, and allowing, they were trying to put the religious freedom stuff in it so you could just refuse to serve people because they were gay in your restaurant and that kind of stuff. And they were just trying to legislate all of that. And the bathroom thing got all the attention. And it that made, I mean, I think a lot of scared people, unnecessarily scared people, get up in arms about protecting women from perverts trying to put on a dress and go in the bathroom, which is, like, statistically ridiculous. But we kept having to reiterate so much of that that it distracted from just calling attention to the horrible overreach and other, you know, destructive things in this bill. So.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I actually was not aware of a lot of that, because a lot of the things I read about it did make it very sensational about that. So, I just can't even believe that
it was
that
is, it was the clickbait headline. Yeah. It was the thing that got the national
absolutely
attention. So
it's crazy. Now, you know, I know you mentioned that, and it's true, I did meet your wife. I knew your wife before she came out, and I can only imagine what that process, I didn't get to see it in person, obviously, but I can only imagine, like, that there are a lot of challenges and a lot of things, and then, like I said, even with just my own recognition of being queer, do I like women? Do I also like men? What does that mean? Is that even allowed? Does what am I? All of that. I can't even imagine. I feel like trans is it's on just a whole another level sometimes. And I would love to hear about examples that you feel really do a good job of representing. Just, you know, I guess I'm going to hone in on the queer representation, because I do feel like one of the things I find is queer representation is often to just be sensational. You know, I'll never forget the Buffy and the first lesbian kiss on TV. Oh my God. And it's like, I didn't feel like that actually helped anything. I feel like it just became a spectacle.
Yeah, it wasn't, there's a lot of times where it's not authentic to queer people. Instead, it's just, it's clickbait before there was clickbait. But yeah, I get you. For me, the most important comic I read, as far as being non-binary, so not associating with being inherently male or inherently female, was, when they rebooted Loki, in the Marvel comics, and they took him out of being a villain and put him more anti-hero. And I think the argument for that was probably Harley Quinn was selling really well for DC, so they needed to do the same thing. Not going to throw shade on Marvel while I'm totally throwing shade on Marvel. But in the Thor comic, Original Sin, Thor and Loki go to meet their sister Angela, who is also an amazing queer character, and I will talk about in a moment. But in that comic, Loki is both male and female, which is a common occurrence throughout Loki's history, but it is the one time that I've seen it be truly embraced by other characters, and he gets no shade thrown on him. I'm using him very loosely here. And it's really just accepted that Loki is both male and female and neither male and female. And for me, that was this, like, moment of identifying in this way that he doesn't change gender because he's tricking someone. He changes gender because it's more comfortable or it's what's right for the situation. So for me, that was like this huge moment, especially that specific comic. Writers change, so they kind of change things around a little bit. But it was really amazing. And then to build off of that, when they started writing Angela as her own comic, Angela is, identifies female and is in a relationship with someone else who identifies female, but her partner, Sarah, is trans, and it's very openly talked about in the comic. But it's also in this no big deal way where it's like, yes, she's trans and she had some challenges, but now she's funny and smart and being trans isn't her character. It is just one footnote in her life, and her relationship does not focus on her transness, and Angela doesn't focus on Sarah's transness. And together they're like this amazing, sarcastic, funny, badass couple of the cosmos, and it's so great. So props to Marvel. And
Angela was created by my favorite author.
Yes.
I was just gonna say, Nine, this should be making you very happy right now. It's really interesting that you bring these things up because I really love, like, I'm a Marvel fangirl. It's Nine's more of a DC fangirl. I'm more of a Marvel fangirl. That's kind of where we're at. But I read a lot of Thor and Thor adjacent comics, and I didn't really even think about it because you're right. It's so like non. It's not the center of the story, and so it's just something you accept. And I do think that that is more genuine, and I really appreciate that because it's actually something I didn't even really think about until until listening to you explain it. Like, I would never even think
of it. It's really funny how doing something right is actually way more subtle than doing something wrong when it comes to representation. Like, doing it right is, I feel like it just makes a better character. Like, it's a more rounded character than a lot of our other, like, cis, straight, hetero, normative, white heroes, you know? Like, it's just, these are really, like, deep, good characters, you know, for comics.
I love the fact that, one of the, I think, a great example of, good representation and a comic book character that I was really glad that they gave a show to was Luke Cage. Seeing a strong African-American man in a role and was a cool comic book character and all of that. And I really enjoyed it a lot. And then I was really disappointed when I read a lot of people's comments who were like, oh, I'd watch Luke Cage, but the show's too black for me. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, for people not exposed to, I think, yeah, as much black culture as others, they just didn't
exactly
understand the atmosphere. Like, I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Some of the people, like, when I watched that show, I'm very much reminded of a lot of the friends that I knew near Chicago or when I lived in Chicago, And again, that maybe is why I reacted differently. Like you said, they just don't know. But yeah, it's...
But dumbasses, yeah, I mean, there were just dumbasses too going, what, it's all black characters. Well, duh. Like, that's the neighborhood you're in. Like, that's just... I love Transparent. That's another mainstream, like, it's a fantastic original series, I believe. I love it. And it, like, I started watching it and it was like, holy cow, it's like stories I have heard from, you know, Janice, and helped me understand what she went through, her whole life and transitioning and everything else, and just life experiences I could never have had. And that it was so, it's so mainstream and so humanizing. Like, I fucking love that show. So
I have this thing specifically talking about Luke Cage, but you know, a lot of these shows like Transparent and Luke Cage and Dear White People and, you know, sometimes that's not for you, major always represented person in media.
Yes! Yes! Like, maybe you won't like Wonder Woman because you have a penis, so you don't care. But I have a vagina that I love, and I am very proud of being a woman, so I'm fucking excited about Wonder Woman, and you can shut the fuck up about it, because for once, it is a comic book character movie that has a woman in the fucking main title. Ugh! Sorry. Okay, rage over.
No, it's and that's the thing, is sometimes these pieces of media aren't for you. So I actually watched the first or second episode of Luke Cage and I just didn't get into it. I didn't think it was bad, but it's a mobster story and those stories don't resonate with me, and I didn't finish it. It doesn't mean it's a bad show at all. It means that story isn't for me, and that's not a problem. Right.
I love that, though, you know, now that I'm put my soapbox away. Absolutely. I think that that's why, you know, the diversity and is necessary, because there should be shows. You know, like, one of the things that I really would like to shows, comics, I mean, media in general, I hate that as a large woman, I'm represented largely by quirky sidekick chick, or, you know, I am fat, so I have to make up for it by being super funny. Like, why can't a fat woman be intelligent or sexy or, gosh, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, elegant. That's what I'm trying to think of. Like, why can't they ever be elegant? Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't understand that. And why can't they be represented in a way? And I would love to see myself represented. And unfortunately, we don't. And I think we did an episode where I flipped out because I saw... because there was a character with the same medical condition that I have that was represented. And, of course, they were, like, the psychopathic killer. And it really bothered me. And deep down, I realized it bothered me on further reflection because I don't get to see myself, you know, something that is so close to me as a person in a TV show, and then when I did, and it was that type of a character, it was really damaging and hurtful and upsetting to feel like, oh.
I actually just stopped watching the newest season of iZombie that I needed to watch because they had a character who had fibromyalgia, which I have, and everyone hated him because he was mean and didn't do anything because he had fibro, and I was like, God damn it. Stop it. Because it is. It's so... I already feel like my stuff is a problem. I don't need you, TV show, telling me how terrible I am.
Yeah, see, that was exactly it. Like, I don't need this TV show to spread this idea that, like, people with PCOS that take antidepressants, the moment they don't take their antidepressants, turn into psychopathic killers. It was an episode of Criminal Minds, just for those who did not hear that episode that we did a while back. But that was actually one of our first episodes, I think, Amber. Like, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
But, you know,
almost exactly a year.
I know. Tomorrow is our official... We have to just mention that. Tomorrow is officially our 1 year anniversary of doing the Geek Girls podcast. So it will be officially 1 year tomorrow. So it's very exciting that we've been on this journey for a whole year. But yeah, I just going back to the, so I know you gave a great example with like, with Loki. I know that there's, I think that there are, I don't know how to put it in a good way. And I think you bring up the, by bringing up the point that subtlety is, if it's done right, it's going to be subtle. How do you react to people that make light of it or handle it in a comedic fashion? And I'm going to use the example that everybody knows I'm going to use, RuPaul's Drag Race. I am a big fan of RuPaul Charles. I have been for a very, very, very long time. I love that he comes at it from an angle of humor. And if you can't laugh about life, you can't, you know, you're not really living. And he just wants there to be that space to just make light of the struggles and the things that gay men or, you know, and gay men that like to dress up as women or women, people that like to dress up as women in general, and the art form of that. And but again, he approaches it in a way where that humor can sometimes also be offensive because he's making light of it, and that's how he processes it for himself and in his environment.
So it's complicated.
Yeah, that's good. That's putting it mildly.
I actually have some major critiques of drag culture and of gay male culture in general, and how they react to people on the femme end of the spectrum. And kind of...
Especially when you, well, and I mean, one of the things that comes to my mind is, what is it? No fatties, no
Asians, no fatties, no femmes.
No fatties.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and that right there, I mean, you're in a marginalized group and you're already, you know, being...
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's,
for me, RuPaul's always going to have a special place in my heart for But I'm a Cheerleader, which was one of my pieces of media.
Yeah.
Was like, oh wait, I do like girls, because Clea DuVall, I really liked from the movie.
Yeah.
And RuPaul was hilarious and satirical, and I think made a really important statement with the character he played on in that movie. But with RuPaul's Drag Race, he hasn't responded to criticisms always elegantly, and a lot has changed. I think it's close to like 20 years since But I'm a Cheerleader came out, maybe more. And it's 30 or 40 years since, you know, he started doing drag. And I don't want to be like, oh, he's the old man, get off his lawn. But at the same time, he uses certain words that are now accepted as slurs. And I think it's more of an issue for me of his place of privilege as identifying as a man, that he can respond to criticisms inelegantly and use certain words and not adapt. So I used to watch Drag Race. I used to love it. I feel like I know better now. And I don't support that, but I do support Rue as a queer and creating queer culture. But I feel like he reinforces a lot of very negative stereotypes and a lot of harmful stuff towards trans women through how he deals sure. with drag.
Sure. And I can definitely respect that, especially because like literal use of the word tranny and all of those things that I definitely understand. And then on top of it, the show does sometimes have a framework of really putting on a pedestal a very specific type of, you know, fishiness or standard of beauty, and I find that that can be very damaging, and so I definitely agree with that. One of the things that I do enjoy about it, though, is Michelle Visage is one of my favorite things. She, as an ally and a mother, is adamant, like, she is so involved in really just trying to put that positive message out there and creating a more accepting environment. And I just really, but again, you know, she's a cis white woman. So like, I can get that. And I do think, but there is like that comedy aspect of things where I feel like that's how we deal with it. And I think Ember, you are, I see what you're saying here.
In your notes, this came up in conversation and I don't even remember with who, I think yesterday, for me, where somebody's, it was my mother. Like, I was talking about soap. Because Scott Johnson had brought up soap or something in TMS. And my mom's like, wasn't that the first gay character on TV? And I was like, I think maybe it was. But part of me immediately felt like it doesn't count. Like, it was, that show was so absurd and comedic and... like, it's like she didn't watch Night Court for years and years because she thought it was like Judge Judy. And I was like, wow, that's like thinking soap was a soap opera, right? Like, it wasn't a serious dramatic thing. It's like, and then I think about what Ellen did and that coming out and risking her career and having like her, you know, gay self be a gay character. And it was a sitcom, but it wasn't just a strictly comedic show. It had dramatic elements. They were characters people could identify with, and she took that big risk, career risking step, and helped so many people and has been such a great advocate for so long. And like, was it cheapening it that it was comedy, or was it still okay because it was some kind of normalizing exposure that, like, if you grew up with that, maybe you wouldn't automatically hate what you didn't understand?
Yeah, for me, I guess it's, so I feel like the line comes down to humor for poking fun at a problem, and then humor poking fun at people. And poking fun at a problem helps kind of open a discussion about problems in culture and society and recognizing people. When it comes down to poking fun at people, it can become harmful and can reinforce negative stereotypes. So I'll use RuPaul for an example, where RuPaul in But I'm a Cheerleader is really poking fun at people who have internalized their queerness and are very hateful towards others because of it. And that shows a problem at how toxic it is for everyone around that person and how personally harmed they are by culture making them do that. Whereas some parts on Drag Race, they poke fun at women or femme identifying people and reinforce these really harmful stereotypes about women, that they're catty or mean or vain, without really giving context to that humor. And in that point, I feel like that's where it becomes harmful, that these messages are just being reinforced.
I think I really agree with that, and I can definitely understand from that standpoint, because I agree. I think that, I mean, just my own struggle, I want to be on equal footing with men, meaning I want an equality of opportunity so I can be one of the guys, quote unquote, but I actually like being feminine. I like embracing my feminine qualities. I like all of that. And growing up, that was very oppositional to what I understood because of the media that I was exposed to, that women that liked girls, girls that like girls have dykey haircuts and wear Doc Martens and wear flannel and have to go through a lot of work to understand how to wear a dress, whereas I can put on makeup and I do like to wear makeup. And, you know, there's just all of those things that having the exposure and seeing what's out there and making it something that's more normal and more accessible in media is really important, and I just want to see more of that. And I am excited to see that so many younger people are growing up in a world where they do get exposed to that earlier, in some ways. But also, I think that it also turns up the mic volume on people that are bigoted assholes, and that also poses a little bit of a problem. So, I don't know, it's hard. You know, there's just two sides to it.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I still have this thing where I don't like a lot of what happens in the drag world. But if RuPaul being on the air gives space for, you know, trans women to come out and live their life and be who they want to be, Ru can keep doing what Ru does. Because I feel like, ideally, I would like a better representation, but some representation empowering people is at least something. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm like, boo, Drag Race, because, you know, a lot of people have come out because of drag, and that's important and empowering for them. So I don't want to just be like, it's a problem and needs to go away. It's complicated, and it's one step for some people, and that's important. So not everyone who's gender fluid read Loki, but I did, and it was important to me. So that comic needed to exist, and RuPaul needs to exist, and these representations in media can all exist if they're helping someone. I just like to get to a world where it's a little bit healthier, you know? I don't want RuPaul to not be on the air, but I'd like RuPaul to stop using slurs that are harmful towards trans women. It's sure. A compromise.
Sure. And I'm glad you brought up But I'm a Cheerleader. It's something that I'm surprised I haven't brought up before, but that was the one movie. It came out in 99. And it was the one movie that actually made me feel like it was okay for me to be open with my friends in high school about my queerness. Now, the unfortunate thing is that when I did come out, I unfortunately had some people at my high school, because again, very rural, very whatever, that did not respond well to it. Most of my friends responded, you know, fine. You know, it was like, okay, fine. Yeah, duh. We get it. Whatever. But again, like you said, not everybody who watches But I'm a Cheerleader, or, you know, or not everybody, you know, is going to go watch But I'm a Cheerleader and whatever. But for me, it was the one movie that I can remember where I was like, oh, that's okay. Like, that's a thing. Like, this is okay. And I think that the more we allow for better representation in all aspects of media, and that includes video games, that includes movies, that includes comic books, everything, books, all things need to have better representation. And like you said, because if you don't appreciate it, maybe it's just not for you. Maybe that's for somebody else. Just like the female Ghostbusters. Aren't dudes that are like have a nostalgia boner for original Ghostbusters? Maybe this movie wasn't for you. Maybe it was for us quirky, geeky, offbeat women that wanted to see women in those roles. Like, that's what that movie was for. And if you didn't enjoy it, that's fine. It wasn't for you.
Yeah, I feel like I have two things about storytelling, and media is storytelling, so I like to use that word. But it's that sometimes that story isn't for you, and that's okay. And sometimes that story is going to be more powerful, you know, because it's different and it's going to show you something. But a lot of people have these walls built up that this is the stories that have always been told, and that's a problem. And there are plenty of stories, and there are plenty of stories that you can identify with, and there's plenty of stories that you can connect with. But at the end of the day, just more stories and more voices telling those stories would just I think, do a lot. One, I'm really sick of reboots in general, so that would be nice to have new voices. Instead of, why am I getting a Mummy movie again? Just
I know. It's like, come on, guys.
But it's also like, you know.
But then again, I am also happy that there's Land Before Time number 287, because it is my second favorite to Land Before Time 432. So I guess I can't complain too much.
I get it. I'm just, could we have had a Mummy movie with, you know, an all-female cast? That would have at least been different. Or written by a woman or something instead of another white. Yeah.
Hollywood is tragically, writers and producers in Hollywood, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. Women, queer people, racially diverse people, severely underrepresented in all ways, and that's really damaging because that is where a lot of our art and media and culture come from. That's a little scary. I have to just, so as we kind of wrap up our discussion about representation, I just want to say that this is one of the reasons that I was really excited to see the Twitch Unity Project happen. And if you didn't learn, so twitch.tv is where, if you're not familiar, that's where a bunch of people stream their video games. Now, twitch.tv is also where people can stream their creative content. And then a couple months ago, they opened it up even further, where now people can stream IRL streams in real life, so they can just stream whatever they want, basically. And then they can also stream talk shows. So, in general, there are a bunch of Twitch streamers that have gotten together and decided that they wanted to start the Twitch Unity Project. The idea was to share in safe spaces on Twitch and also diversity of content, diversity of streamers. And there's a couple people, individuals that I think really were key in putting this project together. And one of them that I just want to kind of give a shout out to is Oddish, Steph, who is a Heroes of the Storm player. I think she was on Team Blaze. Open trans woman, has been streaming on Twitch for a long time now. And when she first started her stream, you know, there was a lot of toxicity. There were a lot of assholes that would come in there and say a lot of fucked up things because there's a trans woman putting herself out there in a very public, very open way, in a field where a bunch of dude bro jock assholes, because unfortunately that's what the majority of video game players unfortunately are, especially in the competitive esports scene. And so Oddish Plays Games is one of the channels that was involved in that project, and it really made me very proud of Twitch, that Twitch embraced the project, sponsored a dance-a-thon, did all kinds of work, put a global emote for people to share, and that really made me feel good about Twitch and what they're trying to do to spread that diversity in their streaming environment. So I just wanted to kind of say something about that because I think it's important to mention.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Twitch.
Yeah, right? Way to not be shitty, Twitch. No, I'm just kidding. Especially after, like, where were we at, like, a year ago, talking about what happened during the Hearthstone match? African-American player, and all of the things that were being typed in that Twitch channel when he was playing Hearthstone in a major tournament. Like, that's just, ugh, gosh. Anyway, it's good to see that, you know, things are kind of coming around with Twitch taking ownership and involving themselves in those kind of projects. So, with that being said, I hope that you feel fully marinated, Jet, because you're about to get grilled. So I'm going to fire at you some rapid fire questions. First thought that comes to your head, and let's start with, we'll start easy. What is your favorite color?
Evil unicorn.
Okay. I dig it. If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would you want to meet?
Oscar Wilde.
Ooh. Favorite outdoor activity.
Not being outdoors.
Yeah, I was gonna. If you could choose to stay a certain age forever, what age would it be?
22.
Oh, that's a fun age. What is the first thing that you remember buying with your own money?
I'm pretty sure I bought a Will Smith CD.
So many CDs. I feel like that's like a common answer we get. I love it. If you were reincarnated as an animal, what would it be?
House cat.
Yeah. and what is the best or worst gift you remember receiving? Or both, if you feel, if you can think of one each.
My great grandmother was criminally out of touch with her family. She was more worried about whatever research project she has. She was an amazing woman, worked in journalism, and is my great-grandmother. So pioneering, amazing woman, terrible family member, is the nicest way I can put that. And when I was 13, she bought me for Christmas... And this was the first Christmas present I ever received from her. She bought me a pair of, like, orange jeans that were a man's cut. They were, like, rodeo jeans. that were two sizes too small.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh, but it is kind of funny.
No, it's hilarious. so that was my relationship with my great-grandmother.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. And then what would you name the autobiography of your life?
Something probably not fit for human consumption. probably R-rated.
All right.
I'd have to go with, like, dildos and cat hair, because that's my life.
Oh, you're one of my favorite people, that's why.
I do have a back burner project of a comedic memoir of my time working at a sex toy store, and it is called Tales from the Porn Shop. So
see, and I still appreciate your blog work. I enjoyed very much your ability to be very open and uncensored, and also the way you did the same thing when you did reviews. I enjoyed very much because of the uncensored nature of which you write. So I'm very excited to watch your journey writing and sharing your writing through Patreon. So I'm really excited. I'm so glad we got to have you on. And I hope that... Yeah, I hope that was pretty good grill. That was a pretty good grill. I'm very,
lots of fun.
That's fantastic. So, grills and honorary grill friends, what is coming up for you? What are you anticipating right now, Amber?
I got a call yesterday, from somebody I have worked in the past in politics with, who was sent to me by somebody else, who my reputation preceded me, and it's geek stuff, because there is a at-large city council candidate in Charlotte, which is, you know, about 50 miles from me, but they are having trouble with the NGP van software for all their filing, and their treasurer has no idea what they're doing, and they were looking for help, and calling around, and it was like my resident geek status preceded me, and I got a call that, will you please help these people? And if I haven't used this software in a couple of years, I'm sure it's had updates, but if I get my brain on in my groove, I'm gonna go in there, spend a couple hours, teach his treasure the software, and it might be a gig. The person who called me was very kind of upfront about that. Like, I didn't have to bring it up and start asking for money or any awkward shit like that. It was, you know, if they need to have you as a consultant, and I'm like, yes, yes, I'd like to hear that word. So, pretty, that would be awesome. It would feel good to be making a little money right now with all my other life things. So, and they seem really nice. I got to research
especially
the candidate.
With the fact that every water spirit ever in all forms is pissed off at you right now.
Yeah.
A little extra money might be nice.
Yeah. Like, holy crap. So, yeah, being able to get out of that hole would be terrific. And it would be filing is in July, and then I believe that election is in August. So it would be, you know, couple months, probably some decent money, mostly working from home is what I usually end up doing. And they seem really nice. The candidate called me and he was like, we just to set up a time for me to go in there. And it's in like my favorite neighborhood. Like it's in the neighborhood. It's like near one of my favorite places where I helped organize the bike ride because I just like hanging out in that neighborhood. It's where I would spend all my time if I lived in Charlotte. And he was like, oh, wait, how do you take your coffee? Because, like, they're going to have it ready and waiting for me. And that was just nice. Like, that feels like, okay, this will be an okay work environment. It's not some, like, pompous jerk. He was just like, I will have your coffee hot and waiting for you. What else? Eating all the yummy treats my mom brought me from back home. My mom was traveling up from Florida to New York. And then from New York to Cleveland down to Florida again. She stopped here and she brought me all kinds of delicious things that like I can't get here, so I'm gonna have to be very careful not to pig out too much on awesome like pierogies and kielbasa and loveliness. So, but I'm looking forward to eating it anyway.
Yummy.
And maybe playing some Heroes with my son, who's a complete convert now. Ha 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 ha.
I just love it because we've talked about that so many times, how your son is like just so judgmental of Heroes. And then it's like, oh, that's the trash MOBA, or that's the, what is it? The, what did he call it?
It's oh, so casual.
Oh yeah. The casual MOBA. Oh God. All right.
And now he's like coming in the room like 10 times a day, trying to talk to me about Heroes or.
It's fantastic. Good. I'm glad to bring people. I just hope the League of Legends players don't bring their shitty, toxic attitude.
Well, and that helped, too. One of those streamers that really just fell in love with the game and said, and I don't remember his name, but, like, that was a streamer my son was familiar with. So, you know, they won't listen to their fucking parents, but, you know, they're online heroes that can convert them, I guess.
Shut up, Mom. You don't know what you're talking about, Mom. Jet, what's on deck for you? What do you have coming up in your world?
So my major thing is hopefully, fingers crossed, my wife starts work next week. She got fired about 3 weeks ago when we started talking about doing this episode. The day we started talking about doing it, and she's been job hunting, and she's got a place where it is a queer who will be her boss, which is amazing because she works in the kitchen industry, and it's very cis hetero. And that's been really toxic for her, so that's really cool. On the nerd side of things, I have been excited for State of Decay 2 for almost a year. And I am so ready for that game to come out. Because killing zombies with my wife at the same time in a game that the first game I have 900 hours in, I'm so ready for that game to come out. It needs to come out tomorrow. I need it right now.
Soon! Soon! Oh my gosh. Well, that's awesome. So I am looking forward to priming my next round of models for painting. So I have been working on the same four models for Warhammer, War Machine. I called it Warhammer. War Machine, a.k.a. Wormahordes. I hate calling it Wormahordes. I really don't like that word. But whatever. That's what people call it. But I've been painting the same four models, and I am now finishing up basing those models so that I can finally prime my next set of models so that I can just paint something fucking different. Granted, it'll still be in a similar color scheme, but at least it'll be different. I feel like I've been staring at the same models for 2 months, because I have. I'm also really excited to do more Heroes streaming on my Twitch channel now that I can get biddies and I just feel it's really awesome and reassuring, and people have been, everybody who's been messaging me and telling me to keep streaming, that they appreciate my attitude and putting my stuff out there. It's very encouraging, even though it is hard because there are fucking trolley douchebags in Twitch. But I'm going to continue to push through, and I'm really excited to see that continue to go. And I'm just ready for this month to be over. Work is literally killing me. Working in a sales job, and I'm like just constantly floating between hitting goal, exceeding goal, or not hitting goal. And every day my projection changes, and I'm going to have a heart attack before the end of the month. Hopefully not. Also, as of today, it is officially 1 month until Nerdtacular, so I am super friggin' excited to hang out, get drunk, and have a good time with my favorite nerds on the planet. And I don't know about you, Ember, but I'm pretty excited to actually be able to give you a fucking hug. And like,
right? Oh my gosh.
Like, I won't know what to do. And also,
like, it just feels weird at this point that I haven't seen you in person. It's just so, like,
it's bizarre.
It feels weird. Like, yeah. It goes back to our episode about, like, our internet friends, you know.
Being our family.
In real life and our family. And, like, yeah. Yeah. Now it's just, like, more weird that when it occurs to me, we haven't been in the same room ever.
I know, because I forget sometimes, because I'm so in touch with you so often that I forget that we have in fact never seen each other in person. So I'm really excited about that. Our Geek Girl stickers arrive next week, so I'm really excited because we're going to have those to give to people at Nerdtacular. So I'm really excited to be able to hand out Geek Girl stickers for people to take and plaster them on things as they wish. So that's really awesome. So yeah, I'm looking forward to quite a bit. I'm trying to put the work stuff in the background so I can just feel good about all the other good stuff coming up. And again, I just want to remind everybody, we are right now wholly supported by our patron. So we really appreciate all of you patrons who are supporting us. You can, if you are not yet a patron and you want to become one, you can do that at patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, as a patron, one of the perks that you get is when you become a patron at any level, you do get your podcast episodes 1 to 2 days early. So that's one of the bonus things that you get there. Also, once Ember and I nail down exactly how we're going to be able to live record, pretty soon you'll be able to also get after shows and pre-show time there as well. And yeah, so it's good stuff. Become a patron. We appreciate it. And yeah, Ember, how else can people support us?
Well, you could also get good feels by supporting us by going to iTunes and leaving a review. It helps other people find us. So, and it's free. You could also email us, phone us. All the info is in our outro to reach us, tweet at us. We love to hear from you. We love all your suggestions, your questions, and we appreciate them. You're part of our community.
We've been seeing more and more interaction. It's been really exciting to get more and more feedback and hear from people and get news ideas and get, you know, anything. If you have a show suggestion, feedback, all of it, please send it. We've been really enjoying the feedback that we've been getting lately. It's just growing and growing, and that's really awesome. That being said, where can people find you on the interwebs? So, Jet, how can people track you down and support your awesome project?
So, I am on Twitter at Jet Day Avila. That's Portuguese, so it is D as in David, E as in Edward, V as in, or sorry, I can't spell my own name. D as in David, E as in Edward, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, ILA as in Apple. And you can also find me at patreon.com/JetDayAvila, same spelling.
Also, to make it really easy, we will also be including that in our post this episode. There'll be a link to all things so that you can easily find Jet's work, support their Patreon, follow them on Twitter, do all the things. Please, please, please share so other nerds can find cool nerds and all those geek
nerd
things.
Queer nerds forever.
Yes, exactly. Ember, where can the fine folks find you?
This geek can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast.
And I am the Jen, and I say things specifically on Twitter at the Jen Says. I'm also saying things on Saturdays as I live record the Jen Says podcast, which is now also available in iTunes and wherever podcasts are found. I'm also streaming at twitch.tv/thegenplays, so come hang out with me. Thank you for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG. Well played.
If you enjoyed this show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.